Fans of San Francisco rock posters from the golden era of 1966 and 67 are no doubt familiar with the name Moby Grape, but today few people have ever heard them. This was a band capable of beautiful country harmonies and driving guitar solos, as well as self-sabotage and attracting disaster. Rock historian Ed Ward has their story.
Ain't no use in saying that I love you. Ain't no use in saying that I do. Ain't no use in saying that I love you, 'cause you know and I know that it's true.
Moby Grape should have been the biggest band to come out of San Francisco in the summer of love-induced rush to sign anything that could hoist a guitar, but, well, they weren't. You had five good-looking guys, all of whom wrote material. You had three guitarists and five singers. You had a major label putting a lot of money behind them, and most importantly, you had a band that played the circuit and had fans. So what went wrong? Some of the answer lies in the band's beginnings, as four guys hired by impresario and manager Matthew Cates to back one of his clients, Alexander Skip Spence, who had just retired as the singing drummer of the Jefferson Airplane. As guitarist Peter Lewis, son of actress Loretta Young, said, 6 months after we met each other, we were rock stars. Of course, once they headed to their rehearsal room, a houseboat-based nightclub in Sausalito called the Ark, they adjusted just fine. Sounds coming out of the Ark attracted record company guys like flies. Columbia Records fought a hard battle with Elektra for the band, and won. Columbia assigned their Boy Wonder staff producer David Rubinson to the band, and he managed to bring in their first album for a whopping $1,000 in recording costs. Stunningly cheap even back then, but it doesn't sound like it. Columbia was elated, and that's where the trouble started. Never before had a band's debut album been hyped so incompetently. First, they released five singles at once, the entire album, thereby confusing radio stations. Second, the release party in San Francisco in June 1967 was so lavish that it alienated their hippie fan base. It was also notable because the company had bought 700 bottles of wine for the occasion, but hadn't provided corkscrews. Third, it was discovered after the album had been distributed that bassist Bob Moseley was making an obscene gesture in the cover picture and the free poster inside, so the albums had to be recalled and reprinted. Not to mention the fact that in the wee hours after the debut party, the band's three guitarists were caught with underage girls and marijuana at a party in Marin County. Still, one of the album's songs managed a slight showing on the charts. that's another typical Moby Grape screw-up. What do you think that song's called? The band called it Listen, My Friends when they rehearsed it. But when Skip Spence, who wrote it, was asked, he said it was called Omaha. The band went on tour, dodging the law, getting thrown out of hotels, and receiving angry threats from the president of Columbia Records. Undaunted, 6 months after their first album, they went back into the studio. Called Wow, the album was a mess. It had a track that had to be played at 78 RPM. It had a whole extra disc called Grape Jam, featuring the band jamming with Al Kooper and Mike Bloomfield. And, oh yes, it also had some great songs on it.
He said he found himself and gave away the things he called his own.
Could have been written about Skip Spence, though, since he was clearly experiencing reality quite differently than his bandmates. In fact, after the Wow sessions, he left, went to Nashville, recorded a famously difficult album called Or, and disappeared. The rest of the band soldiered on, Wow did okay on the charts, and another album was recorded. Moby Grape 69 showed that they still had it.
Dawn looked on a lifetime. The birds sing and day is begun. The heavens shine from dawn to dusk with golden rays of sun. People on their way, beginning a brand new day. I love hearing people say, it's a beautiful day today.
The band went on tour, but the end was nigh. After returning from Europe, Bob Mosley quit the band and joined the Marines. Matthew Cates, now their ex-manager, was suing them, claiming he owned the name and put another band on the road using it. The remaining trio went to Nashville and cut one more album, but it was just to fulfill their contract. And after that, Moby Grape pretty much expired. Too bad. Few bands of the time had that elusive mixture of pop and hard rock, and with one break, and maybe one or two parties fewer, they wouldn't have ended as a footnote.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin.